I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, the biggest and best in sports coming your way over the next 2 hours at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and I tell you, it is so good to be back in the saddle, wishing all of you a happy new year and 2015. We have, indeed, we have secured another outstanding lineup. We have got you totally covered over the next 2 hours. But at first, we are going to take time to recap some bowl games, and there are plenty of stories to tell. What a pleasure it is to welcome in from CBS Sports, the college football analyst, a former defensive standout at the University of Texas, and that is Brian Jones. Brian is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season at SCORE at SCORE.com. Happy New Year, Brian. It's good to have you with us on this Friday
night.
Happy
New Year to you, Big E. I need one of those Cadillacs. Come on, hook me up.
Hey, you'd look real good, especially in a pink one, right?
I know. Get a brother of one of them Brohams.
Oh, my dad drove one for many, many years. Well, talk to me here. We've a lot of anticipation for the 2015 year, a brand new start, of course, for the Longhorns, and I know you will want that after that, embarrassing 31-7 loss by Arkansas in the Texas Bowl. That was disappointing. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, let's talk about our embarrassing loss before we get to your alma mater's embarrassing
loss. I know,
loss.
True.
Texas, and I say we, as if I'm out there playing. I'm not, of course. But I tell you what, when you have an inconsistent football team, which they have really been on the offensive side of the ball, especially at the quarterback position, you're going to struggle. And we're talking about an Arkansas defense that shut out LSU, shut out Ole Miss. So they're a damn good football team on that side of the ball. They really put it on an inept Texas offense. So not surprised that they handed it to the offense. A little surprised at the 59 total yards. That leaves a heck of a lot to be desired, but it's a work in progress, and I've tried to talk some of my Longhorn faithful back from that ledge, like, listen, this is what you get. You got as green as they come on the on the offensive line.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any greener than what we have up there, and I know there have been some green shoots, here and there during this football season, but when you're young like that, you're inconsistent on the offensive line, at the quarterback position especially, you're going to get what you had the other night. But I'm still very optimistic about this football team and where they're headed. I'm optimistic, more than optimistic, and comfortable and have a ton of confidence in this coaching staff. And you look at the type of recruits they're getting already, Malik Jefferson, his teammate, and I mean, they're getting tons of guys that they need to rebuild this program, and they're going to do it. They got to get their type of guys in there.
Well, it's been a year of transition, no doubt about it. You referred to this team being young. Obviously, the inconsistencies were shown. But when you are huddling up with some of your former teammates, I mean, you're a proud alum. How willing are the fans, the alumni like yourself, how willing are you to be patient?
They are not. They're not willing to be patient at all. I am. Because I understand that this cake is not baked, not even close to being baked. And I understand it's going to take a minute for them to right the ship. And I would say at the end of next season, if we're still looking as poorly, as badly as they looked the other night, yeah, we've got issues then. But I don't foresee that occurring. I think we're going to be just fine. But you're right. You get these marquee programs, they're going to be a large percentage of the fan base that's going to be impatient. They want to see it now. Well, it doesn't happen like that. I know in this world of immediacy we live in now, where just at the you flip on your cell phone and you can send a message around the world. No, That's not how it works in football. You got to build this thing from the ground up. You got to build a foundation. They'll start building that foundation. And like I said, you've seen a lot of positive notes with this football team. But the last thing we've seen is going to leave a very bad taste in our mouth for a long, long time until we see this team back on the field playing a regular season game again. But that being said, it's a work in progress. They're going to get it right. They'll get their type of quarterback in there, their type of players, and we'll move forward. But you know, you're right. Your alma mater, my alma mater, any of these marquee schools, their fan base, they're not terribly patient. Never have been, never will be, but they're going to have to find a way to do it.
You are listening to the voice of Brian Jones from CBS Sports, their college football analyst, tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Brian is joining us on our Stewart Cadillac guest line, and also our good friends, our latest sponsor, The Score, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason at Score, at score.com. So in your mind, Brian, what kind of timetable are you talking about for Texas? You were saying to right the ship, I mean, to restore this program.
Next year, I think a season. I think, you know, this year was about laying the foundation and letting these guys that are definitely coming back know that this is how we're going to do things here at the University of Texas now. So I think next year, as I said, at the end of next season, if we're sitting here looking at a team that's 6-6 or 6-7, we've got issues. But I don't foresee that happening. I think they turn this thing around. They get a quarterback in there they can believe in, that team can believe in. They get bigger, tougher, like they did this year. I mean, the tenacity with which they played this season, it was a huge improvement upon the last couple of years. And you don't have this sense of self-entitlement. They're going to be fine. We need to calm down. I know that last impression was not good for Longhorn fans. It's going to be all right. Just chill out.
Everybody's got to take a deep breath and exhale just a bit. Okay, so the first-year head coach, Charlie Strong, I wanted to get your reaction from his comments after the game against Arkansas. He said, at some point, we've got to develop and get pride back into the program. My question to you, Brian, is this a program that's lacking pride? Because it certainly seems like it's lacking some passion and energy, but pride?
Yeah, well, that was part of his spiel when he took over last year. You know, he needed to inject the team with some energy, with some toughness, and that pride. And he's correct. You got to have pride in your work, and that's key. It's paramount to help you get over the hurdles. You look at a team like Florida State coming off a national championship winning season, didn't dominate teams this year like they did during that championship season, but yet they're still sitting there undefeated because they have pride. Even though they get behind the eight ball, they find a way to win. That's the key to their success this year. Not as dominant as it was a year ago, but still just as successful, sitting there undefeated once again. It's about having pride. It's about, you know, we talk about this on my radio show all the time, Big E. Mm-hmm. You know, my co-host Chris Moore is always saying, well, these guys have nothing to play for, and we're talking about the NFL. Well, yeah, they do. I don't care if you're sitting there at 1-14 and you got one game left, or 2-14 or 2-13. You have pride to play for always, because anytime you go out there on that field, you're essentially signing your autograph with your play. You're saying, this is who I am. This is who I am as an athlete, as a person. I give up or I don't give up. I you know, curl up in the fetal position or I keep fighting. You know, I don't care if it looks dire. You have to keep hustling, keep fighting. It is about pride. You know, either that guy across from you, the line of scrimmage initiates the contact, or you initiate it. That's what it's all about.
The college football conversation continues with Brian Jones from CBS Sports here at YSR in just a moment. Hey, Brian Jones is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always go back and listen to Brian, one of the best in the business, right here at YahooSportsRadio.com podcast. So you've obviously had some time to step back, kind of reflect on how the season, how it's played out. You've been summarizing it for us. Who do you blame? I mean, do you take a step back and just kind of go, this is why we're in this particular situation?
As far as Texas, who do I blame? Well, you got to look at the past regime. They brought those guys in there. They brought that quarterback in there. They're the ones that identified and evaluated the current talent and said, hey, yeah, these are the guys that can come and help Texas get back on top. And they couldn't have been further from the truth. Now, some of those pups they brought in there, they've grown up and they've been developed under this new coaching staff. And you see, you saw them play lights out on the defensive line. You look at Malcolm Brown. You know, this guy's had just a phenomenal season. So there's some guys there that are great talent, but you had to shed them of that sense of self-entitlement. That was the biggest thing. You know, you had to get these guys uncomfortable, if you will, and let them know, hey, you got to work for everything you earn here. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many stars you have behind your name when we signed you out of high school. That doesn't mean anything here at this level. You got to earn it again, all over again. And then if you are to ascend to the next level and play in the NFL, it won't matter how many All-American teams you made in college. What are you going to do here at this level? So that's life. You have to continue to keep refining yourself and overcoming obstacles and adversity and hurdles and continue to try to get better. And so it is what it is. Charlie Strong is the guy now. He's going out there recruiting, doing pretty well on the recruiting trail. He'll get his guys in there. And we'll be just fine.
Okay, Brian Jones from the CBS Sports Network is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, as we are inside the Quicken Loan Studios. So, Brian Jones, what is the top offseason priority for the Longhorns? There's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about fixing that offense.
Simple. Find a quarterback. That's the biggest issue. Find a freaking quarterback. You know, offensive line, those guys are going to be better for getting their heads beaten in this past season. You'll be better for that. If you're not better after that, you shouldn't be on this football team. So they're going to be able to identify who the players, who stuck in there and continued to fight. You paramount, find a QB. That's what you have to do.
Okay, so why did Tyrone Swoops, obviously he received a ton of criticism. Brian, why did he never look comfortable?
I have no idea. The guy came in with a lot of fanfare, but you look at that senior year, and I don't mean to pick on the young man, but I've been there and I've been picked on as well when I was at that age and playing at the University of Texas and playing at UCLA prior to that. So I dealt with it. He can deal with it. You look at that last year in high school and just a horrible record. I don't even believe they won a game, maybe one game, and yet you're telling me this guy's going to be the second coming of Vince Young? No way. Vince Young wouldn't have gone, 1-9 or 1-10, whatever it is they went during his high school. So I have no idea why he never felt comfortable. You have little fits and starts with him. It looked great going up against your alma mater at times there in the Cotton Bowl in the middle of the season. Then other times he just looked lost. You'd have to ask him. I don't get it.
Okay, so one of the guys we definitely want to talk to you about is Jordan Hicks. I mean, it seems like he's been at Texas forever, was recruited by Will Muschamp his fifth year. He was a fifth-year senior. What is his legacy at Texas?
Staying hurt, pretty much. He's an excellent football player. It was good to see him on the field the entire season this year, leading tackler. So he's a good football player once he gets on the field, as long as he can stay healthy. But that was, I think, the legacy he leaves is that he couldn't stay healthy. And sometimes it's like that. My pro career was mired with injuries. Someone who stayed relatively healthy all the way up till I got to the NFL. It just happens, and it's unfortunate, and the same with Jordan.
Mm-hmm. It is time to roll up the sleeves for Texas. I mean, they suffered five losses of 20 or more points for the first time in program history, and they certainly, Brian, they are desperate to get back on track, no doubt about it. Hey, give me a quick hit on Arkansas's Brett Bielema as he flashes the horns down symbol. Was that photoshopped? What did you think about that?
I don't know, but, they showed him, they're sitting on the sideline, and apparently that's just something he does with his fingers, so I wouldn't care too much.
You didn't take offense to that?
If he did it, you know what, if you don't like guys doing it, coaches, players doing it, go beat them. That's how you stop them from doing it. You beat them. So I don't get caught up in all that fanfare and all this bluster and over-the-top rhetoric about, oh, he did that, he's he's lame. I mean, whatever. Just go beat him, and you don't have to worry about anyone doing the inverted hookup.
Okay, Brian Jones from CBS Sports joining us tonight, a YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We're going to move forward and get your thoughts on my Sooners. Talk about embarrassing.
Bring it on.
Bring on the criticism. 40-6 against Clemson. Brett Venables certainly had his day, didn't he?
Brett Venables got his revenge. You're exactly right. The way he was pushed out was just completely wrong. And, you know, what's transpiring now is your alma mater is similar to what occurred at Texas over the last 3 or 4 years, where you've got these guys. Actually, it was going on long before that, but they could cover up for it. But you got them, you know, trying to sexy up these numbers and stats. There's only one stat that matters. That's wins and losses. So I don't care about, 20 games under Bob Stoops where the offense has done this or the defense. Who cares? What was the record? What was the score of the game? That's what we care about. And then when you get your PR program in full motion and in overdrive, I should say, your sports information director and all that trying to mask everything with these numbers, forget about it. Stats don't mean anything. Stats are like that woman wearing that bikini. It show you a lot, but it don't show you everything. So they're trying to be too cute by half. It's the same thing that happened in Texas. Just own up to it. We got our butts kicked, and whatever they're selling there, the kids aren't buying right now. I mean, it's just been amazing to see them fall off. While as a Longhorn, you enjoy it. But with a team that had that many returning starters, and we talked about this Big E at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
A lot of people had them top five team, top four. I think I had them somewhere around 8 or 9. But yet and still, with all those returning pieces, they weren't able to do better than what they did this year. That's got to be a cause for concern.
Hey, what is your evaluation of the offensive coordinator, Josh Heupel?
My silence is deafening. I tell you what, leaves a lot to be desired. It really does. A lot to be desired. Trevor Knight didn't look even remotely close to the guy we saw in that Sugar Bowl a year ago, taking on Alabama.
Yes.
So I don't know how you regress the way that offensive team has done. So Samaje Perine, of course, came in, played well as a true freshman, but aside from that and Shepard, not a lot there to work with, it doesn't seem like. And as the offensive coordinator, you got to put them in a position to win, and you got to coach them up, and you got to recognize what they do well, what they don't do well, and adjust. But doesn't seem like that's occurring.
Well, it is a long and anxious offseason for the Sooners and for the Texas Longhorns. Brian Jones from CBS Sports has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Brian, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and Gladys, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Blessings.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate it, Big E. Happy New Year's and all that stuff to you as well.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. You stay close. Okay, the celebration continues at Yahoo Sports Radio as we ring in a brand new year tonight at YSR. A ton of college football coverage already on this weekend show, but we're going to devote some time and even things out with some college basketball and some NBA news and notes. We've invited on our show Lee Klein, a contributor with Slam Magazine, and he also owns and operates the prestigious 5-star basketball camps. We're going to get his thoughts on scouting some of the top 2015 NBA draft prospects. Obviously, a ton of chatter about the number one team in the country. We featured them last weekend. That, of course, is Kentucky. And just kind of curious in terms of what some of those players are going to be able to do and take their game to the next level. It's always a pleasure to have with us Lee Klein, the contributor from Slam Magazine. He's joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the athletes network. There is no off season at SCORE at SCORE.com. Good evening, Lee. It's nice to have you with us.
Well, terrific. Happy New Year to yourself and all the listeners out there. And boy, when we talk about this Kentucky team, we're talking about the nation's best defensive team and possibly one that can, if you will, wire the field and go undefeated because they're that good, they're that talented, and it really starts with Willie Cauley-Stein. When the few non-All-Americans that are on that roster, a guy who's the leading candidate for defensive player of the year, really a disruptor, blocks shots, gets a lot of steals, and brings an energy level that, if you will, takes the entire team on his back.
And he is, what, a 7-foot junior. From an NBA standpoint, what do you anticipate that he'll be able to do when he takes his game to that next level?
Well, I see him a lot like a JaVale McGee. It's a question whether or not offensively, if he can really spend some time develop a handful of bona fide post moves. He's a guy that's going to excel in transition. He'll be a great defensive asset. The question will be, can you count on him for offense in the half court? If without development, I see him like a JaVale McGee. I think with some time, I think he's got a tremendous upside and could end up being a guy that 5 years from now could borderline and be an all-star caliber center in this league.
Okay, Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love for you to join and connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And, of course, when you talk about Kentucky, they have been flat-out dominating, decimating opponents. I want to get your thoughts. I really thought Louisville might have a chance and pull off the upset. What did you think of that game?
Well, I didn't think Louisville, while they played a fantastic defensive effort, they just don't have enough offensive weapons. In some ways, they're still in transition, trying to replace not just Russ Smith as a go-to guy and a go-to scorer in the clutch, but more so Luke Hancock, a dependable three-point shooter, a guy to stretch the defense. And you saw without that, when you play this Kentucky team, they just are so disruptive. It becomes a nightmare for opponents. And that's what Louisville faced. As many opportunities as they were able to get off of turnovers, they just could not convert them. Chris Jones really scuffled during the game. And Montrezl Harrell is a terrific athlete, a great player, but not a great offensive player. He has a limited arsenal and just one that, not enough offensive weapons. But I do think, when you talk about the ACC and Louisville and the top of that ACC with five quality teams, certainly going to be a great conference to watch, probably the best conference when we talk about the very top, maybe not the depth of it. And for Kentucky, the interesting thing is the guy that's played the biggest and the best, probably not the biggest pro and definitely not the biggest on the roster, it's Tyler Ulis.
Oh, yeah.
He's been money. And Cal's done a great job in calling his number and not being afraid to put Andrew Harrison on the bench.
What is your belief, Lee? Do you think that Kentucky, they will go undefeated this year? I think that is the consensus. Or who perhaps does have the legitimate shot and is that quality opponent that can pull off the upset this year?
Well, I think what happens is the pressure of undefeated takes a lot more teams down than a specific opponent. And it just builds on you, and it's something that every team's got to talk about, and so it takes your eye away from the focus of the opponent. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Kentucky will not end up undefeated. It's not because other teams will be better than them. It just becomes too much pressure. And let's keep this in mind. Wildcats are not a great offensive team. If, it's a team that sometimes it's three-point shooting, escapes. Ulis has been big, but other guys haven't really shot it exceptionally well, and it's one that you could see them, if you will, offense kind of escape, focus escape, and then losing in Baton Rouge or a place like that in the dog days of the SEC tournament.
Well, Kentucky is a team, it's obviously they have incredible depth. I mean, their B team, we were talking about this last week on the show, it could start anywhere else in the country as they have just been completely, breaking down teams. Who has been, it's got the who's on this roster. Who has, though, perhaps surprised you a bit and impressed you the most, Lee?
I think the two freshmen, I think Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis are two guys that have come in and have really, have provided not only the outside shooting, but the energy level to be able to take this team when it has off moments and be able to go and just step right in. So Devin Booker, who's a terrific three-point shooter, underrated athlete, really does a nice job in complimenting Ulis. And then Ulis being a point guard, a guy that's able to, make the people around him better and to hit the open three-point shots, and most importantly, knows his limitations. I think that's a sign of a great player, just biggest sign as any. Know your limitations. Don't do more than you're capable of doing. Two guys have been impressive to me.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to the voice of Lee Klein, contributor with Slam Magazine, covers college hoops. He also owns and operates the prestigious five-star basketball camps. And we're going to highlight that here in just a moment. But all of our listeners across the country, Lee, tell them where they can check in with you and connect with you online.
Well, you can always follow me on Twitter at Lee Allen Klein, L-E-I-G-H-A-L-A-N Klein, K-L-E-I-N. And then we'll have a great array of camps and clinics this spring and summer at our five-star basketball camps all throughout the country, whether it be here in New York or where you are in Texas, all throughout. There's for the passionate player, there's a great opportunity for you to elevate your game at five stars.
Okay. Head coach John Calipari has already won a national championship at Kentucky, played in another last season. But would you agree that this team, this year, could even be better than any of those other ones in the past?
Well, I won a couple years ago with Anthony Davis and Michael Gilchrist. I mean, you had two picks. I think they went, you know, 1 and 2 in the draft. I don't know if you're going to see that this year. While you have great talent, I don't think you have that elite talent. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is a top 3 pick in probably this June's draft. I think what he was able to do with that team is get them to buy into really being unselfish and a fantastic defensive team. I like to see this team improve offensively in order to match up to that team, but they're deeper than that team and they're capable if, you know, once again, that 3-point shooting, they're right around 31%. That's got to improve. If that will improve, what makes them so dangerous is their offensive rebounding capability and just how many guys they have to attack the glass. So we'll see. I think this, you know, for Cal, this becomes sort of the, in many ways, if he wins the national title again, once you get your second, you're talking about a guy that should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
So this, in some ways, is his legacy. Winning this year, this team, and that in many ways could be Cal's legacy.
Okay, we're getting ready to wrap it up with Lee Klein from Slam Magazine. Quickly give us a hit on your prestigious five-star basketball camp. And well, this time has gone way too fast. I have so many other questions that I want to get into.
Well, the best part about my job is to get an opportunity to play a role in some of these kids' development, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And now we see them here in college basketball. You see a kid like, whether it be Javon Staten in West Virginia, or Justin Anderson of Virginia, kids like that you had an opportunity to teach them one or two things, and they took it from there. They were confident, they worked on it, and now here they are when you talk about, you know, the wooden watch list and guys of that caliber. That's what makes this, you know, so special when you get a kid like Quinn Cook and you see him here as a senior being instrumental as part of a team that's got a legitimate chance to win the whole thing.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Absolutely.
Much more. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you and much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Happy New Year in 2015. We are so thrilled you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, where weekends always start early with the Big E Sports Show. The NFL conversation, it does continue right here as the coaching carousel, it is underway, and the New York Jets making massive changes and electing to fire head coach Rex Ryan and their general manager. Providing the helping hand and the insider's update on this overhaul is Christian Dyer. He is a sports writer, tracks the Jets with the Metro New York newspaper. Happy New Year. It's your first time on the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I hope you got the headache cleared away from New Year's Day.
That's right. Well, we're ready to roll in and take in a brand new year. But talk to us about Rex Ryan, because there's certainly, Christian, there was a ton of conjecture that this might take place because the team was, it just wasn't headed in the right direction and getting any better. But what was your belief? Do you think he should have been fired?
I have a hard time seeing that Rex Ryan should have been terminated. And I know at first that seems like a little bit of a head-scratcher. And Rex Ryan's a polarizing figure, not just here in New York, but across the country. But, I mean, this man still has merit, still has value. And we see the fact that he's already got, you know, he's been out of work, you know, for just a couple days. And he already has interviews lined up with the Atlanta Falcons, with the San Francisco 49ers. He is a tremendous coach, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And you look at what he was able to do last year, 8-8 with a team that the Vegas lines makers had them being the odds-on favorite to get the number one pick. You know, it was supposed to be Jadeveon Clowney or bust. for the Jets, and he turns this into a team that finishes 500, and he's allowed to come back this year. And now all of a sudden, it's a unit on defense where the secondary was probably the poorest in the NFL in terms of talent. The quarterback situation is probably bottom five with Geno Smith as a starter. The offensive line was horrible, and they had a number of injuries as well. And despite all that, I know 4-12 doesn't look awfully good, but in seven of those 12 losses by a combined 34 points. That's less than two field goals a game with a team that had inferior talent. So I understand it's been 4 years without the playoffs here in New York, 4 years without even a winning record. But suddenly you begin to look at what Rex was able to do with minimal talent, and I think people can appreciate a bit more that maybe he should have gotten a seventh year here with the Jets.
Hey, we are zeroing in on the New York Jets with Christian Dyer. He's giving us our NFL update. Of course, he's with the Metro New York newspaper magazine, and I also got to make mention he is joining us on our guest line driven by Stewart Cadillac. Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason at SCORE at score.com. Check them out. So, Christian, at the start of the season, could you have anticipated that the Jets, that they would stumble to a 4-12 record? I mean, that's the worst since 2007. Who, in your mind, who is to blame?
When you look at the job that general manager John Idzik did here, and he along with Rex Ryan were both shown the door earlier this week, I think that there has to be a lot more culpability falling on the shoulders of John Idzik. Here's a guy, I know he's just 2 years into his job here in New York, but he came in, and in his opening press conferences two Januaries ago, he said the word competition or compete seven times. It was going to be the hallmark of this team. And you look at a quarterback situation where you had a second-year quarterback in Geno Smith, whose biggest career accomplishment was an 8-8 record a season ago. And he's automatically anointed the starter over Michael Vick, a four-time Pro Bowler, a guy who's won playoff games, someone who revolutionized the position of quarterback in the NFL. Without even a single snap of off-season workouts, Geno Smith is anointed as this starter. For that alone, I think John Idzik should have been in hot water. But another thing that Idzik said in that opening press conference 2 years ago, the draft is going to be our lifeline. And this was a Jets team that was in salary cap hell when Idzik came on board, a team that was lacking young talent. Over the past 2 years, they've had 19 draft picks, the most of any team in the league during that stretch. And with those 19 picks, they only got one bona fide impact starter, and that's Sheldon Richardson. The other players that they have all have major question marks in terms of their development, and a good chunk of them, about 20% of them, aren't on the roster anymore. A number might actually be a little bit higher than 20%. But you look at all this and you say that he struck out in free agency this offseason with $35 to $40 million in cap space and went into the season $20 million under the cap, knowing he had things he had to and situations that he had to address on this roster. He really gave Rex Ryan the short end of the stick to work with. And I think to his credit, a 4-12 team that easily could have won 3, 4, 5 more games because of the game plan, because of the coaching staff, I think it should have been Idzik who was gone and Rex who should be coming back. But it didn't play out that way for either one.
Christian, when you look at the equation, who in your mind is more important, the head coach or the general manager?
When you're talking about draft day decisions, and you look at what just happened here this past year, Idzik failed in the draft, in free agency. He failed in every facet of his job. And Rex, I think, probably had his best coaching job over the past 2 years that he's done. 6 years here in New York, and that includes two trips to the AFC Championship game. But I think you could argue the past 2 years, he's maxed out a team with clearly inferior talent and kept them in a bunch of games. So I think you have to look and say that a general manager is more important. If whoever comes in can get some talent on this roster, this team isn't very far away from being a playoff contender. Are they ready to be in the playoffs? No. But, you know, a team that's seven of their losses by 34 combined points shows that with a little bit of star power, they could go to the next step and certainly be a 500 team and moving forward 2 or 3 years down the road. with a good general manager, this could be a playoff team.
We are zeroing in on the New York Jets with Christian Dyer, with the Metro New York newspaper, sports writer, contributor. Of course, we want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and all of our amazing hosts. You can go back and listen to all of our shows at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. We're here inside the Quicken Loans studios. Christian, tell all of the listeners across the country where they also can connect with you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter as well. It's at Christian R. Dyer. That's Christian with a K. And you can read, if you really want the ulcer, I guess you could read my daily Jets coverage over at Metro New York newspaper. I'm also a contributor at the Shutdown Corner on Yahoo Sports as well.
So give us a sense of what the future looks like for Rex Ryan.
Well, if it's not going to be coaching, and it may take a year or two for him to get another coaching opportunity, and by coaching, I mean head coaching, not as a coordinator, I think Rex will have a tremendous career in television. If Tim Tebow can do it, and Rex Ryan, who was made for the soundbite, era that we are now in, I certainly think that Rex Ryan's in a good position to land himself at an ESPN or an NFL network, do a good job, take a couple years off, and kind of reshape his image, not just as the goofy, affable, loosey-goosey kind of guy, but a real thinker of the game, more than a personality, but kind of a professor of football. I think that when you look at a situation like the Atlanta Falcons, he's going to interview with over the next few days, that could be a great spot for him. If he can move some players in defensively to get that 3-4 scheme, and he's going to have some guys from his old Jets team who are going to be available, an Antonio Cromartie, a Calvin Pace, those types of guys. Perhaps a place like Atlanta where the offense is set. You got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and a full complement on offense. That's a perfect situation. He doesn't have to worry about that one side of the ball. Revamp the defense, which we know he can do. If it's not going to be TV, then Atlanta might be a really good fit for him.
Okay, so the Jets miss the playoffs for the fourth straight season. Obviously, we've been talking so much about the dysfunction within the organization. But in your mind, who is that best leader that can galvanize and provide a fresh start?
Well, I think the most interesting name and the one that maybe Jets fans don't want, but could be a Dan Quinn type, the defensive coordinator there with the Seattle Seahawks. He's someone who can come in, perhaps maximize what the Jets currently have. I know a lot of Jets fans are wringing their hands saying, we want an offensive guy. 6 years of Rex, the offense hasn't shown any kind of improvement. It's actually regressed over the past few seasons. But I think Dan Quinn brings that mentality. He understands how to work with young players. He could maximize a current strength on this team. And sometimes the best teams are those not that make their weaknesses, average or mediocre, but have an outstanding strength and make that their hallmark. This Jets defense could be very good with a little tweaking. I think Dan Quinn and his personality, and he's a little bit more of a disciplinarian than Rex was, could be what this locker room needs.
Okay, so you mentioned Dan Quinn, but what about Gary Kubiak?
Kubiak is one of those guys who I think comes along with a certain amount of baggage. You would certainly want to see him not be as highly involved in player personnel as he has been in previous stops. If you're going to get a Kubiak, perhaps someone like DeCastro, the assistant general manager at the Baltimore Ravens, might be the good fit, may be able to maximize him. Kubiak is an interesting name, and I know a lot of Jets fans don't view him too positively. With a strong GM, I think he could be a playoff head coach, certainly.
Okay, Christian Dyer has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I know you've been on our network many times, but your first time on our show. Outstanding job. We look forward to catching up with you some more in 2015. And you are an East Coast boy, so you stay warm up there in Jersey, okay?
I certainly will, and a belated Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. You guys stick around. Much more straight ahead tonight in the fastest 2 hours in radio, right here at YSR.